Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace. Let me open us up in prayer and we'll get started here. So, Father, we thank you for our time today. Lord, as we talked about earlier in Bible study, I thank you, Lord, that you're a God of wonders, you're a God of miracles. God, we just invite your presence to come and just to fill this place. God, I pray that you would not only rest on each and every one of us, but I pray that you would have your way with each and every one of us, God. Whether we need an encouragement, we need a miracle, we need a touch, wherever we are, God, I thank you that you know what is going on with every life, not just in this room, but every life on the planet. And I pray, Lord, that you would just come and just touch us where we are. Those that are in the room right now, those that are going to be walking in a minute, those that are watching us virtually, Lord, that you would just touch people where they are. Meet them where they are in their situations, in the things that they're facing, in the things they're dealing with, God. I pray that you would just be working and moving. And in all their situations, God, that they would see miracles. God, I thank you that you are the God of miracles. And we just give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is going to be a little bit different today in that I'm going to get very real. I mean, I always do, but I'm going to be even more so today. And I do it for a reason, though, which I will explain. As I have been dealing with my own situation of late, and my own situation is suddenly learning, unexpectedly, without any warning, that my place that I've been living in for over 28 years is being sold. And my rent that I've been paying has been insanely low for those 28 years. I mean, insanely low for and unheard of for the Bay Area. But because of that, and because of what the church can afford to pay me, it has been a perfect match of my need and what the church can afford and has the ability to meet. Now, suddenly, that perfect match has become the perfect storm of the church being unable to afford to pay me more in the face of the face of being needed to pay more for where I'm living because of what rents are going for out there. You know, I mean, my place is being sold, and there's that possibility that someone else is going to buy it, and there's that possibility that the rent will go up to something that is more what everybody else is paying. And if that's the case, then I'm not making enough to live. And so, as I'm talking to you right now, as we do our time this morning, there's an open house going on at my house. You know. And so, as I'm dealing with this, as I'm dealing with all of this, I am seeing that a number of people are also wrestling with things. It's not just going on with me. There's other people wrestling with things. People right now are tired. People are frustrated. People are living in a lack of peace. There are concerns over family members that have suddenly arisen. People are facing various challenges from difficult situations to tragic loss. And for some, it is as if something just came out of nowhere and just suddenly turned their worlds upside down. For some, it feels as if God just picked us up and is violently shaking us. And for some, this unthinkable seems to be happening, and it seems surreal. And some are in shock. In the last month or two, I know of a few people who are facing the challenges in their living situations. I know of one where their living place has also been sold right out from under them. And they had just moved into that place 3 months ago. And they're scared. And they're trying to fight off panic. Another is dealing with all of the details and the headaches of moving. For some, it's health issues. For others, it's issues with family. For some, it's the health and the welfare of a family member, or it's a combination of all those things. And so I want to talk about this today because as I go through what I'm going through, you know, my feelers are way up right now to see and sense what God is doing with me and what I need to do. And as I do this, I find that I'm walking through a really dark forest of a time that is not just about me, however, but it's also about so many around me at the same time. And this is part of the new season that's still going on. I mean, so many are tense. They're facing a variety of personal crises with themselves directly, or they're facing crises with loved ones. Amidst a backdrop of what is going on in our world with prices going up on so many things and war abroad. And so as I'm looking at my situation and as I'm seeing what's going on with others, I'm seeing that there may be a number of other things going on too. And so I want to address a number of these today in the hopes that they will be of help to some of you. As I've been wrestling with my current situation, I know that God has it. And yet, I'm not at peace. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. I have been getting a lot of good words from what I feel God is saying, as well as I'm getting a lot of good words from other people. And many of them are going right along the same lines, one with the other. And yet, the good words did make my heart glad, but only temporarily. Why? I had the good words. I try to trust in what I hear the Lord saying, you know. And I would have peace momentarily, and yet eventually I didn't stay in that place of peace. I felt a burden. I felt a weight. I felt a heaviness. I felt a pressure. Now, being a feeler, I'm coming to realize that I may be picking up on what is going on around me as well. But that's not all. Because some of it was my fear. You know, and like others, I'm walking that tightrope of fear and faith. You know, it's like being on a balance beam, you know, trying to stay level in my faith. But also, some of it was what others are feeling. And if you're a feeler or you're someone who is spiritually sensitive, then you may be feeling what is not you, but what you're picking up on. And so you can pray for others. But some is also spiritual warfare and the power of words. Some of you have had words spoken over you in your situation, and some have said them to you not realizing what they were saying. Because they were speaking out of where they are in their faith, and they're not believing that we serve a God of miracles. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 says this. This is talking about Jesus. And when he got into the boat, the disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Some of you are facing storms right now. And we can get so caught up in the storm that we forget that we serve a God of miracles. We have that same God of miracles living in us. Prior to this, in Luke chapter 5, the disciples had seen the miracles of catching fish where they had spent all night fishing from before in that same spot. And they were later being told by Jesus to throw out those nets again in that same spot where they had caught nothing. He says, "Throw out those nets again," in the same spot. And upon doing that, they pulled in so many fish in their nets that their nets were breaking and the boats were sinking under the tremendous number of fish that they had caught. when they did what Jesus said. In traveling with Jesus, they had heard his teachings, but they also had seen every kind of disease and sickness healed. It says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, the news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So going back to Matthew chapter 8, they're in this boat now with him. And Jesus is asleep. Now, when you're God and you know who you are, you can sleep in a storm. And we need to get to the place to where we have peace in the storm because we know who is in us. And therefore, the authority that we have. Some of these men in the boat were fishermen. You know, they were afraid in the storm of dying, which gives you an idea of just how bad of a storm this was. And with a word, just a word, Jesus calmed the storm to where it had suddenly changed from something that was life-threatening to where it was calm and quiet and still. I mean, it was like glass. And they saw that Jesus' authority was not just over fish and illness and demons, but over the elements as well. What helped to change them and what changes us is experiences to where we see and experience God's power at work. When we see it, it grows our faith. It convinces us of the truth and the power of God in His Word. And some of us are experiencing things to grow our faith. And some of that is growing it for what is coming tomorrow. It's not just for today. It's for what's coming tomorrow. But some that we know or encounter do not know what we know. And so they speak out of their ignorance or their unbelief, because they have never experienced a miracle, or they have, but they have not seen it as the hand of God, and so what they know of God is limited. And some of you are going through things, and God is using you and your situation to grow their faith. For me, as for some of you, if you have told others of your plight, perhaps to solicit their prayers, this creates a situation now to where others are aware and therefore they're watching as well as praying. For you, me, you know, it's our witness. It's where is our faith in the crisis? For God, it creates a situation where God gets the glory. But for that to happen, he has to come through. Both God and us are on display for everyone to see in our situations now. And the pressure is on God. Sometimes we put the pressure on us, but it's not on us, it's on God. And that's why we feel the way we do. But the pressure's on God. And he can and will meet every single challenge. So everyone who knows the situation is praying and watching to see what God does in your situation. See, God wants to be involved in our lives. The God of the universe wants to be involved in your lives. The God of all creation wants to be involved in our lives. And he will also use you and your situation to involve himself in the situation and the lives of others through what he does with you. But the other thing is this. I mentioned it a moment ago, you know, feeling that that weight, that heaviness, that pressure. For some of you, you may be going through a birthing. God is working in you. And something has been developing as you are growing and developing, and there is this heaviness, there's this weight, this pressure, as what God is doing in you is growing, and as it does, the new thing in you is pushing against the old in you that is finding itself suddenly up against this new thing in you that God is growing. And that old part of you is feeling the pressure of the new that God is building in you. It's a building for this new time. It's challenging the old that is of the time that we're coming out of. It's like Jacob and Esau, you know, that we spoke of a few weeks ago. You know, two things are wrestling within you. Only one can win. The old is fighting to stay alive. But the new is growing, and it's growing. And as it does, it's confronting that old in you. And what you're feeling is the struggle. If this is you, let the battle happen. Give in to what God is doing, and let the birth of the new happen. And it will. For some, there's a process going on right now that God is doing. That God is doing. The issue is really not the thing that you're facing. For some of you, the real issue is what God is developing and dressing in you. And what you're going through, it just furthers that process. It furthers that development. Whatever you're facing, you've developed to the point to where God can do what he's doing with you now. Do you understand? In other words, the things you're facing now is because you've grown to the point to where you can face this now. We look at it as, oh, it's a crisis, but really it's a validation of your growth. And God wants to take you further. And he's using the situation to do that. Whatever you're facing, you have developed to this point to where God can do this with you. There's also what he's developing in us as a house. Since so many of us are going through things right now, and there is what he is doing with us individually, what he's establishing and developing, you know, what new place is he moving you and moving us into in that growth and development? In other words, what territory in you is he taking or wanting to take in you and with you? And therefore us, because individually you all make up us. So how much of what you're going through impacts us? For some, it's a time to stop losing ground. And this time is to do something in you that stops that so that you will go from losing that ground to gaining that ground. For some, it's addressing fear and anxiety. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what we will drink or what we will wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Some people fear because they worry. Worry is a lack of faith. Worry is not letting go of the situation and fully letting God have it. And sometimes we're hanging on to something that we need to let go of. Sometimes we're hanging on to something that we need to let God have, but we don't see it. And when we worry, it's a clue to us that we are hanging on to something that we need to let go of and let God have it. And some of us keep hanging on, and then we let go, and then we pick it back up again, and then we let it go, and we pick it up again, and we let it go again. And we do this over and over and over again. Time after time. And for some, year after year. And some are going through things because God is trying to get you to let go. And he's allowing situations in your life to get you to let go once and for all. See, some don't let go because of how they see themselves. Maybe we don't fully grasp our identity in the Lord. Some don't fully grasp that truth because of how we see ourselves. And Jesus just simply reasons with them here in this passage in Matthew 6 and reasons with us in this passage. Life is worth more than what you're worrying about. Life is more than what you're hanging on to. But have you made that thing that you're dealing with bigger than it should be and bigger than it really is? Is it more to you than it needs to be? If God has taken care of other creatures that are not as important to him as you, then why are you worrying that he's going to take care of you? What does that say about how you see you? How do you see you and God's relationship with you? Worry doesn't help. Worry doesn't change anything. Worrying is us trying to fix what we can't fix. When we give it to who can really do something with it, then we have put things into the hands of the one who can actually do something. The one who has our best interests at heart. The one who knows our true need. The one who loves us more than any other. And the one who has unlimited power and resources at his disposal. Matthew 6:34, which is the last verse of that little section of verses, says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Some are worried because we're taking on more than we should. Not living one moment at a time, but many moments at a time. Living days at a time instead of just today. Living weeks at a time instead of just today. Living years at a time instead of just today. Some are living in the future, trying to fix tomorrow while you're in today. And you know what? That doesn't work. When we worry about tomorrow, today, we project ourselves into the future and are living in what we fear tomorrow, today, before it has even gotten here. We don't know, and we don't know what God's doing now. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean that he's not working. All it means is you just don't see it yet. All it means is that you just don't see it yet. But if we let him have it, if we release it to him, then he can work in tomorrow today. And by the time that thing actually comes, it's already resolved. Because we let God have it now. So he can fix it for tomorrow. And that's assuming that by the time that thing actually comes tomorrow, it's still a problem then because God took care of it today. That thing you worry about today, if you let God have it, by the time that the time of that situation comes, that situation may not exist anymore because God took care of it. Only God can work tomorrow today. He can heal the past today. He deals with things in the now, today. I have seen God bring me through all kinds of things in my life. I've seen him bring me through changes. I've seen him bring me through challenges. I have seen him bring me through life and death situations. You know, my home broken into and ransacked, hurt and betrayal, job loss, job change, loss of home, abuse, everything. I have seen God bring me through all kinds of things in my life. God has always shown himself faithful, always. He has never failed. He has always been there, and so I should be doing better today. And guess what? I'm not. Why? Yeah, let it go, really. You should be up here preaching. See, God uses situations to do a work in us. Sometimes the issue is not as much what we're facing as it is what God is doing in us, in that situation that we are facing. We think it's the situation, but it's not. It's just him. It's just him working in us. I have this pattern of what I kind of do with myself after everything is done on Sunday. I go home, I sit at my kitchen table, I work on my calendar for the week, and I process some information from Sunday morning. And while I'm doing this, I'm in direct line with the TV, and so I pop a movie in my CD player, and I watch the movie while I'm working on these things. Now, because of everything that's been going on right now, I really didn't feel like watching one of the movies that I have that I would normally turn to. I wanted something more godly. That's not to say that the movies I have are bad. It's just that, you know, some of them are just secular movies. But I wanted something more godly. And so I put in my CD player The Shack. For those of you watching Facebook, there are moans going on out there because those who've watched The Shack, you know what that movie can do to you. And so I'm not gonna ruin the movie for you, but I'll just say this much about it, okay? It's really the story about God's working in an individual, okay? And so the main character of this movie, his name is Mac McKenzie, okay? And he has this encounter with God where he is experiencing Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. They have taken these forms of people and they're interacting with him. Okay? And that's really what the movie is about, them interacting with him. And so in this one part, he's with Jesus, and Jesus is in his workshop, and he says, "Hey, Mac, you know, why don't you go down to the lake down there, and there's a boat out there. Why don't you just, you know, take the boat and go out on the lake?" So Mac's in the boat, and the setting is beautiful, this lake with the mountains around and the trees. It's just gorgeous. And all of a sudden, the boat starts to rock. And Mac starts to get rattled. And all of a sudden, the boat starts to come apart. The slats start to separate from one another. And he's starting to panic, and water's starting to come into the boat, you know, and he's freaking out. And all of a sudden, the water underneath the boat starts to turn black. Like this black cloud starts coming out from under the boat. And Mac is panicking. And as this is going on, Jesus is speaking to him, and he says, "Mac, it's okay. Don't be afraid. I've got you. Look at me. Focus on me. Mac, look at me. I'm here." And all of a sudden you see that this Jesus is literally standing there on the water, right next to the boat, with his hand out, and he's saying, "Mac, I'm here. Mac, look at me. I'm right here." And as I watched, I saw that I was Mac in the boat. The blackness, that cloud in the water, it was me. You know, Jesus in the movie was telling Mac what he was telling me. He's been saying this. Look at me. I've got this. See, for Mac, it was his anger. It was his hurt. It was the pain, the guilt that he was carrying. He had tragic loss. He had been abused and felt responsible because he couldn't stop it. And he'd even taken a life. But for me, it was fear. With all that Jesus and I had been through together, I had fear. And in this moment, I saw it. I had assurances, and I was scared because I did not know what God saving me was going to look like. And I saw that one of the things that God was doing, he was using this situation to refine me. See, refining is to make us better than we are. It doesn't mean that what's in you is bad. It just means that God says, "Hey, I can make you better." And God is using this situation that I'm in to address my pride also, and my gratitude, and my appreciation for what he has blessed me with. You know, in the past week, I've had two possibilities come across my path in my living situation, and I looked down on what I had. I looked down on what I have had for the last 28 years. I've seen it as a gift from God, but in the situation right now, I'm looking down at it. And I look down at what was potentially offered. I mean, these offers at, you know, later kind of proved to not be really, really viable options. But at the time, it was a possibility. And I look down on that too. I would go, "Oh, that's it? Huh." You know? And so in this, but I saw this. And I saw my pride and I saw my lack of appreciation because I wanted more. That what had been put in front of me. I snubbed my nose at what I had. I'm looking at the problems of where I have lived and put down my gratitude. You know, that knob that doesn't turn right, that thing that sticks, and those kinds of things that happen, and going, "Oh, yeah." And focusing on that and not appreciating everything else that I had. I didn't look at what was being offered to me with more appreciation and gratitude. And my situation exposed my pride. I'll tell you. Whatever I was working on when that movie started playing, I put it down. When that movie was done, I was on the floor crying like a baby. Am I sharing this? Looking at oneself honestly, admitting what is there and not running from it, acknowledging it and giving it to God is humbling. And when I saw this, it just undid me. But James chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you." Humble yourself and God will lift you up. See, part of this whole season that we have all been in for the last few years is about looking honestly at ourselves. The pandemic was just the vehicle for that. And as God exposes and brings things into order, and God is making changes for the new season, and some changes are actually happening, with others, God is using the situation we are in to address us. And this is preparing us for what is coming. This is preparing us for what is birthing. in our shaking, we are being transformed through the shaking experience to be equipped and changed for what is coming so that you are who you need to be in the new so you can steward it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. For some of you, doors are getting ready to open. You've been waiting for something. You know it's coming. And it's either getting ready to open or it has started to. And when it does, go through it. Let him open it. For some, the door is opening, but they don't see it because that open door is not what we expect it to look like. For some, that door is an invitation, but we may not recognize it because what that door is opening up is not what we wanted or what we expected. But God's all over it. John chapter 20, verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut and where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So here, the disciples were scared. They're scared. They're confused. Their leader was arrested and their leader was killed. They didn't expect that, even though he told them. They didn't expect that. They thought now that they're next. And they had put their lives on hold to follow this guy. They walked away from everything they were doing before. And the question they're asking is, what are we going to do now? And suddenly, Jesus is alive. And he's in the room with them. And the door was locked. How did he get in there? But he's there. And he says to them, peace be with you. He says that to calm their fears and to clear their minds. And he says, my presence be with you. Psalm 16:11 says, you will make known to me the paths of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Psalm 42:5, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Among all of the other things that God was doing with mankind and with the disciples in this time, God was also training them to find peace, to find the Lord in each moment. Are you hearing me? That's a word for us, to find him in each moment. And once they find it, once we find it, we can be a channel of blessing in that moment from the peace that we have and that others need. I mean, can you imagine the witness of being at peace in a storm with someone who's not at peace? You know, you have what they crave. I mean, can you imagine the impact of our peace on them, of our peace on them as they panic, living in fear? But also, when we're caught up in that grip of anxiety, we have these anxious thoughts. And God doesn't reign in those thoughts. The enemy does. You know, our fearful flesh does. You know, what you listen to is what controls you. If you don't like what's controlling you, stop listening to it. If we listen to Jesus, his voice will tune out the other voices. But we listen to the other voices. then they'll talk over Jesus. He's still there, but if we listen to his other voices, they'll talk over him. See, we control the volume. You control the volume. It comes down to who are you going to listen to? But in addition to that, what helps in the battle of anxiety is the fellowship of believers. In my battle of late, I had a day here, just this past week, where I was feeling really bad. My feelings have been up and down. It's been like an elevator on steroids. And so I went to a meeting with someone here, and several things happened in that meeting. First of all, there was my focus on the person I was meeting with, but the second thing was this. While we were meeting, two people from here in this room came, you know, all of a sudden there they were. And so we talked for a bit, and them showing up was actually a help to the person I was meeting with. There were things that person needed, and they needed from that person, and all of a sudden, there they all were together, and they talked, and they interacted, and they took care of the business that they needed. But then after that, I got a phone call from a pastor that I have not heard from in years who wants to meet with me and run some exciting ideas that he has. He wants to run them by me to see what I think. And he told me that I gave him a word years ago, and it happened. And he told me what the word was, and I don't remember it. He says, everything you said happened. He says, we got to meet. And this encouraged me. Because if I heard that right, then maybe the things that I'm hearing right now, I'm hearing right too. But it doesn't stop there. After that, a former member came by. I mean, it was like Grand Central Station. I mean, it was really something. And shared what was going on with them. And what they said validated what I've been feeling about them and how I've been praying for them. And then this person got a prophetic word for the person I was meeting with and ministered to them. None of these were chance. These were all divine appointments. And once these were done, I realized that the ugly feelings in me were gone. The validating words I had gotten strengthened my faith for what I was hearing in my situation now. My point is this: focusing on others, focusing on ministry, gets us out of ourselves. And part of the problem with anxiety is that in that state, we become so self-absorbed and not God-absorbed. But being in the eye of the storm, because of the meeting and the ministry that was going on, gave me a perspective, a window that opened that there's something going on. You know, God is active. God is on the move. And I started to see that there was indeed something going on with my situation and beyond my situation. That God has allowed it, and therefore God has his hand on it. And if he does, then everything's going to be okay because he's involved in it. And that gave me hope. There's a mystery. The mystery of God's blessing that comes through pain and troubles. We know that God is good. We've seen it when we put our trust in him. And trust will keep us close to him. Because that trust positions us. It moves us closer to him and helps to hold us there. Sometimes, if you're like me, we seek to understand. I'm one of these guys, I'm always trying to figure it all out. And I'll tell you, understanding has its place. But understanding is not a replacement for trust. Understanding is not a replacement for faith, and understanding is not a replacement for being in His presence. Again, go back to Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. There are times when God works in the dark, meaning that we are walking with Him. We're walking with our hand in His hand because we can't see the way. All we can do is take His hand and walk with Him, totally trusting in Him, leaning on Him because we can't see. We don't know the way. We can't see what's ahead. He knows, but we don't. And that's part of the exercise. A blind trust walk that seems impossible, but God has it. He knows the way. This walk has been planned. These walks don't just happen. They're planned. They're mapped out. They're orchestrated by God, who's the architect of the walk. This walk had been planned to grow us in the dark because some things can only grow in the dark. They can only grow in those places of blind trust and obedience. Because if you shine the light on them too soon, it prevents what God wants to do from happening. Because some things will not grow in the light. Some things can only be grown in the dark and blind trust. Some things will grow when you have all the answers, and some things will grow when you don't have any. And this is a time when understanding doesn't work. Figuring out doesn't work because it's growing something in us in the dark. I've come to realize that there is more of us struggling than I saw at first. And I didn't see it until I got hit with my struggle. As a result, in this time that I am in, I go up and down, as I said earlier. And as I try to hang on to faith and trust, I try to engage and stay in God's presence and connect with Him amidst the fears and the doubts. And as I fight to listen to Him, when the moments of encouragement come, as I see words that I had gotten in other times for others confirmed, it strengthens my confidence in what I'm hearing now. The meeting the other day lifted me way up. But soon after that meeting was over, I could feel the enemy trying to pull me back down. As I pray and try to stay with Him and stay up. Then I got a phone call. One of those phone calls that created this whole situation in the first place. Then there was a knock at the door, a roof inspector. Next day there was a termite inspector. Then there was the phone call of, I'm going to have an open house. These were a in-your-face kind of reality situation kind of a thing. This thing is right in front of you. Be afraid. And my fears rose up. And the enemy was trying to knock me down as I try to climb out of the pit that the enemy would try to send me down and keep me down. And as we try to climb out, he will try to keep us down and keep us from climbing out. See, the warfare increases as we try to break free. It will always be at its most intense right before there's a breakthrough. When we struggle, there's this thing that happens with us when we're struggling. We want to close off. We want to suffer in private. We don't want anybody to see this side of us. You know, we'll disappear for a while, and once everything becomes hunky-dory, then we'll come back. But when we suffer in community, There's vulnerability, there's sharing, and there's support. And God uses us to support one another. Some of our answers and solutions will come from those around us that God uses us with one another. And this is also another form of building community, which is what we have made one of our focuses. But lastly, as I walk through this time, I think it's a time of being very close with God. As we walk through this time and our situations with Him, it is staying right with Him. Not jumping out ahead of Him, but it's staying right with Him, in step with Him. He takes a step, we take a step. Not getting ahead of Him. Step with Him as He steps. Follow Him. Step with Him. But to do that, we've got to keep our eyes on Him. Listening for Him. Having our feelers up and having our feelers on. Moving with Him as we sense what He's doing and we sense what He's saying. And keeping in step with Him. And I think that that is part of what's going on too. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that You would just meet us each where we are. In fact, God, I know You are. I know You're meeting us where we are. You know our situations, but You know the outcomes. You've got the answers already. You've created the provisions. God, strengthen our faith. Lift our spirits. I pray, Lord, that You would silence those voices in us that are not from You, whether they're from the enemy or they're just from us. Silence them, I pray. I pray that all we would hear is Your voice, that Your voice would come crashing through those walls of fear and discouragement and anxiety that we have. And that You would just speak clearly to us right now, wherever we are, whatever our situation is, whatever we're facing. Speak to us, God. Comfort us. Assure us. I thank You that even those times where we can't hear You, it doesn't change the fact that You're there. I thank You for what You're doing in every situation that we're facing. Even though we don't see the answer yet, You're working and moving. I thank You for what You're doing. Whether it's resolving the situation or the work You're doing in us, I thank You for what You're doing. Lord, we bless what You're doing. Come have Your way with us. Continue to grow us and work in us. We need You. And I thank You that You're there. As the boats of our life come apart, You're standing right there on the water with Your hand out to us, say, get out of that boat and come walk on the water with Me. Thank You, God, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your faithfulness. We just give You praise and glory, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before I turn it over to Fred and announcements on all of that, let me read some questions to you that you have in front of you, for those of you that are here. And so the first question is, what needs do you have, and what situations are you facing right now that seem impossible? What do you need to see a miracle in your life or in the life of someone that you know and love? Take a moment and prayerfully reflect on all the times in your past that you have seen God come through in those situations and list them out. The reason it's important to do that because it's going to encourage you. It's going to bring them all back up. Maybe things you've forgotten. It's going to bring them back up, and it's going to encourage you. Yeah, we'll get to you in a minute. It's okay. Next question is the real issue in your situation or what God is doing in you? And not actually the situation that you face. What are the issues in you that God might actually be addressing? And lastly, how many people are praying for you in your situation, and therefore God and your situation are on display for all to see where God gets the glory and what he does with your need? God bless you, and we'll see you here next week.